Well, as most of you know, we have been covering a story basically since the last Friday and through the weekend, and now even this week, contacting all the different concerns involving COVID-19. If you didn't listen to all what's been covered, you might think that, my God, there's a big COVID outbreak. It's not a big COVID outbreak. It happens to be some COVID infections at Hotchkiss School. And once again, in Region 1 and North Canaan. But those three cases are all self-connected there in Region 1 in North Canaan. And also at Gear Village and the residency and also the memory care wing there. And when you add that all together, it sounds like a lot. And one is actually a lot, but it's not as bad as it initially sounds. And we're now going to speak with the communications manager at Hotchkiss School, Hope Cabrera. Did I get your last name right, Hope?
You did. Thank you, Marshall.
All right. Well, first of all, welcome to the area and welcome to Robinhood Radio.
Thank you very much. It is a pleasure to be here.
All right. Now, this is an unfolding and an unraveling of events that have happened over the course of the past 4 or 5 days. Let's start off a little bit about the Hotchkiss School and what it means to our area. I have said numerous times over and over again that having the physical plant of Hotchkiss School here is such a boost to us, whether it's the arts, and I mean the Tremaine Gallery, or whether it's Fabio Witkowski and what they do with music, whether it's the stage, whether it's the special people they bring in to play, which normally if you went to New York City, you'd have to pay $50, $75, $100 a ticket at least to see. On top of that, Hotchkiss happens to be probably outside of the Sharon Hospital, one of the major employers in our area. So let's talk a little bit about the Hotchkiss School and how it really fits in with the community, Hope.
Well, as you said, Marshall, Hotchkiss is a longtime member of the community, having been here since 1891, and certainly the school takes its role here and the opportunity to engage with the community very, very seriously. It's one of the great benefits we feel we have of being in the Northwest corner, is being able to bring different types of opportunities, music, arts, et cetera, to the community, but also to benefit from the volunteerism and participation of people in the community with us at Hotchkiss. So it's extremely important to us at the school.
And because you're part of the community, the school takes, I know, because I worked at the golf shop on weekends at Hotchkiss. I'm a member of the Hotchkiss Golf Course, and I realize that the school really does like to invest in the community and interact with the community, and that everything they do at Hotchkiss, really the final planning stage of everything they do goes around the community as well. I mean, so let's talk a little bit about the way you plan to bring the students back, and obviously you put a lot of work into the planning like Region 1 did, and how it's helped develop where you know that you can keep contact with the community and keep the community safe as well, and the students.
I appreciate that question, Marshall. I think it's important for us to be able to look back just a couple of months and understand the planning process that went into bringing students back at this time during the COVID-19 days. The planning process really was extremely thoughtful. It involved a team of administrators from across the school, but it was also conducted in very close collaboration with state and local authorities, and in partnership with medical experts, including Dr. Sten Vermund from the Yale School of Public Health, as well as other advisors. We also worked collaboratively with peer schools in the 8 schools association, which includes schools like Andover and Exeter and Choate, that are some of which are a little bit farther away, and the Founders League, which is Hotchkiss's athletic conference, which includes peer schools mostly from Connecticut. And we looked very carefully at our risk factors in assessing what it would mean to bring students back to campus, really prioritizing the safety of all parties. So the safety of students, the safety of adults on campus, and the safety of our friends and neighbors in the community. In doing that, the school organized a COVID-19 steering committee, and during the summer months really engaged in very extensive work looking at infrastructure at the school, looking at use of space and the opportunities we would have to be able to put distance between students, looking at converting certain spaces that perhaps hadn't been used for classrooms but could be, also converting spaces that hadn't been used for dining but could be, so we could be thoughtful about keeping students separated. And looking very carefully at plans for testing and establishing the right testing protocols. So when it was time to bring students back, some of the decisions that were made were first that all students who came back to campus would have to bring with them a negative COVID-19 test that could only be a certain number of days old. Also that non-student facing adults on campus, so people in roles like mine who don't need to be working with students on a regular basis, would work remotely and would continue to work remotely for the entire year to reduce the number of people who were on campus. We also established that there would be a 2-week quarantine once kids came back, regardless of where they were coming from, whether that was a not a red flag state or it was a red flag state or outside the United States. Everybody who came would bring their negative COVID test, and then they would do a 2-week quarantine on campus where they would spend a lot of their time in their room. There was some opportunity for kids to get outside and get some exercise and get some fresh air, but that was really carefully supervised, and it was only among a certain pod of kids were able to be together to really limit the potential for any spread of the virus. We then tested everybody again about 10 days in. When we did that, there was one positive test, one student, and that was an opportunity for us to initiate the protocols that we had planned in the event of a positive test. So that student's family was contacted, and that student was able to be put into isolation space. Our contact tracers, we have a large team of trained contact tracers on campus, and they interviewed the student to understand people that person had been in touch with, and they were able to identify a couple of other students, and those students were able to quarantine. I would say that our protocol is that in the event someone tests positive and needs to leave campus, that person will only leave campus if they are able to do so via private transportation. So that might be a family or parents coming to pick them up in a car. It might be some other form of private transportation, but nobody is leaving campus having tested positive in any kind of public transportation.
That was a big question, and I'm glad that you answered that, where people got the initial thing, wanted to know how people could leave the campus, and the simple answer was, well, it's private transportation, that's how.
That's correct, Marshall.
Well, it seems like all the planning that you've done, just like Region 1, has really worked out, and when things, we all expected bumps in the road. I mean, I don't, as a business, we still have our door closed simply because I'm a high-risk category. I'm 67, I'm a little overweight, and I also have bronchitis, so I have lung damage. So we're being super cautious there. But as long as everybody put so much work into this, I think the transparency that the public schools and now Hotchkiss is showing to the public, I mentioned this earlier this morning to Lisa Carter, that really does people at ease when they hear what you're doing. And yes, we do have to report this on the media. It's our job, but it's also our job to make sure that people understand that when these crises arrive, Hotchkiss is prepared for it. I think if there's a school and a school district that's really well-equipped to handle this, it is Hotchkiss, simply because you have students not only from around here, but from around the world. You have your own security on site and everything. So and your own Dr. Zellman there. So I think you've done a great job with that. But it's interesting because I think people worry about COVID spreading, whether it was in Sharon when the Sharon Healthcare Center was named a COVID center, which it's not now, by the way, and people worried about it spreading out of there. And really, it sounds like you have the campus really set up well enough where that people really can rest at ease about the possibility of the virus spreading off campus.
I think that's true, Marshall. I hope the community does feel at ease that there really are some very careful protocols in place. I think what I would say about the most recent coverage of there being a couple of cases on campus, our testing protocols throughout the year, after we got through that first 2 weeks of quarantine time, have been to do weekly surveillance testing where we're looking at 10% of our population, that's students and student-facing adults. And for I think the preceding 4 weeks, our testing was all negative in that surveillance testing until this most recent week when we did have 4 positives. So the process then that we refined early in the year when we had that initial first positive case really kicked into action again, and those students were quickly notified. They were quickly placed into isolation initially on campus while their families were contacted. In cases where the students were able to go home, they have gone home. And then the contact tracing process was initiated as well. Close contacts were identified. Again, those students where they're able to go home, they have gone home. In cases where that doesn't make sense, some of those students are on campus, but they are in quarantine space. The community really has been able to box off those incidences. I would also note that they are all students. Everybody involved is a student. At this time, there are no adults who've been affected. And those 4 positives were all boarding students, which I think perhaps is of note for people here in the community.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to hear you talk about this, because what we've been concerned about is students need to be in school. Students want to be in school. Students want to learn. I'll say a majority do. And I think that you have to balance that very, very, very closely, the balance between the students learning and also the safety aspect. I mean, how hard is that to balance that? That must be hard.
Well, you're absolutely right, Marshall, that students do want to be on campus. That's something that we have heard from students even at the, if we went back to last spring when the Hotchkiss had to close around spring break time and send kids home and wasn't able to bring them back, students were really, really anxious to be back and come back on campus. Families were very, very pleased when we were able to announce that we would be bringing students back this fall. I think finding that balance between having people learning in residential learning at a school like Hotchkiss and keeping everybody safe is extremely important, but also comes down to the values of living and learning in a community and being part of the community of Hotchkiss. When the students came back, they were all asked to sign a document, a community compact, which spoke to the expectations we had in terms of following health and safety protocols, but also the expectations of how to behave as citizens of a community. And students were enthusiastic about signing that and signing up for really taking care of each other, looking after themselves, looking after those around them to keep the community healthy. And that notion of community is really intrinsic to Hotchkiss and is very important to what we're working to instill in students there. And I think that's the secret to finding that balance.
We are speaking with Hope Cabrera, who is the communications director at Hotchkiss School. And it's great to hear, once again, that meeting that happened this weekend between that was set up by Maria Horn between Hotchkiss and Region 1 and Gear Village and area select people and the Sharon Hospital. I really think that probably also opened up other avenues that maybe not everybody were aware of. And now you're all really in direct contact with one another.
We are, yes. The lines of communication are very much open, and we are certainly committed to transparency and also value the partnership and the collaboration we have with colleagues across the area.
All right. Well, welcome to Hotchkiss, but I have to ask you, first of all, have you been in the communications field, and what led you to Hotchkiss, and what was the thing that you decided to say, you know what, I want to take this job at Hotchkiss?
I have been working in communications for more than 20 years. I am actually a Hotchkiss graduate. So when I learned of the opportunity to bring my communications experience back to Lakeville and to be part of the community, I was really excited about that. I have been working for a number of years in the financial services industry. So it's a change of industry for me, but not a change of area of expertise. And it's really been a wonderful experience thus far. I'm delighted to be here and look forward to reconnecting with even more people in the community.
I can really understand that, because I was raised here and born here, and then I moved away and got into my radio career, and after 25 years came back and got to got to do something which I never thought imagined, and that was to start a radio station in my hometown. So I know what it's like to come back home, and I know it's what it's like to come back to a place that you were very comfortable in. And all I can say is welcome back. I know it's going to be a tough year for you this first year, but it sounds like you and everybody at Hotchkiss is doing the job that they always do, which is a terrific job. And I wish you much success. And hopefully we won't speak much during the course of this year, but I know if something goes astray, you've got my number and I've got your number, and we'll keep people informed.
That's terrific. Thank you very much, Marshall. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.